This is the first Sunday of our Advent. We've already seen the candle of hope as Christ born in us today. The emphasis we'll have through our Advent season. It's been through the last few years that I've had the opportunity to preach on that first Sunday of Advent. Dr. Fenton taking the Thanksgiving weekend as a time to be with family. And so it's always the candle of hope. And so each year when it comes to, when he asks me and I ask John, or I used to ask Bob, what's the emphasis this year, hoping that they're going to say something other than hope, they say it's going to be the candle of hope. Well, I dip the bucket down into the well of Scripture and bring it up, and it never disappoints me. There's always another passage on hope. And so I'm not going to retread an old sermon today. I'm going to give you something fresh from the Word of God. But before we look at the passage of Scripture that we're going to focus upon and the word hope that we're going to use, let me first of all tell you what hope is not when it refers to our Christian hope, the hope that is the biblical hope that we have. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is not expecting some cosmic Santa Claus to bring us everything we want. And so we, just like at Christmas, when we go and tell Santa Claus what you want for Christmas and you hope that he's going to come through for you and he's going to give you everything that you hope for, and then you get to Christmas and sometimes you may not get everything you hope for, and other times you may get more than you even hoped for. So it's not some cosmic Santa Claus in which we give him our wishful thinking. Nor is it optimism. Hope, Christian hope, is not optimism. It's not something that you conjure up within yourself of the power of ability or the power of positive thinking to be able to hope beyond what you can do and move forward with that great power of your positive energy that you have within yourself. That's not biblical hope. So, there is a word from God that expresses for us what this hope is. And it uses a phrase in there of set your hope or having a fixed hope. From 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verse 13, but I encourage you to keep your Bible open because we'll be referring to various passages or various verses within that first chapter of verse 13. So we're going to look at the topic of a fixed hope from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope fully. Fix your hope. So that is the theme of our passage today, of a fixed hope. In this passage, there is one imperative verb, one imperative. There are other words around that, and this is not an English lesson or class, but participles, having done this. Set your hope is that one imperative. It reminds us of the passage in the book of Matthew in which Jesus gives to us the Great Commission. When he says, go ye therefore into all nations, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word teach is that imperative in there, and that's the word to make disciples. Everything else around it is that which accompanies that, the going, the baptizing, the teaching them to observe. All of those go into the effect of making disciples. This week, we're entering into a week of prayer for international missions, and perhaps you received in the mail a prayer guide for this week, and I encourage you to use that as you pray for and give to through our Lottie Moon Christmas offering toward missions. But that imperative of making disciples, that's what we have in 1 Peter verse 13. There is one imperative, and that is the word, set your hope. Set your hope. It is an imperative verb in there. It is intentional. It is intentional that we fix our hope It is not just something that we can sit back and just say, well, I tell you what, I'm just going to hope that it all works out. I'm just going to hope that everything is going to be fine. God's going to take care of everything, and I'm just going to sit back and just let it all happen. That is a truth. God is going to work. He is working through. But it is something that we have to intentionally do. It is an imperative of the Christian life that we have our hope fixed upon, as we'll see. In ancient times, sailors would chart their course upon the stars or constellations, and they would fix themselves upon that, and it would guide them in their journey. In this day and time, we have GPS systems that I believe has saved a lot of marriages in the fact that as you're riding down the road and you're a husband who's supposed to be in charge and have everything fully in control, and your wife says, do you know where you're going? And you say, yes, I know where I'm going. And she wants you to pull off and ask somebody for directions, and you refuse to do that. So you wander around until you finally come upon the place. Well, the GPS system is a great device because you can snake a little cord into your ear on the other side, and you can have this soft little voice saying, turn here, turn here. And if you get off, it'll tell you to redirect and get back and how you can get where you need to get. And so you know as a man that you know where you're going and you can get there. And you have that system set upon where you're headed, and it gives you that guidance. In our Christian walk, we need to have our hope fixed. It needs to be that which guides us, which is the controlling action of our life that leads us and guides us as we move through this world and make the decisions that we make. Because if our life is focused upon anything else, our job, relationships, our athletic teams, whatever it is that we have our hope fixed on, our life fixed on, that's the guiding principle of our life, we're going to find that that's going to just keep us so messed up and off direction. My prayer for you in this service is that as we go through this passage, that you confirm within yourself where that hope is and what your hope is all about in your life. The thing that I don't want to see happen is that here in this service is that just for a few moments through the singing of some songs, and I think John threw out a verse that we've never heard before that kept us on our toes on some of these songs that we're singing for Christmas, that we sing these verses and it just kind of brings us back into a temporary phase of being spiritually reconnected for a little while. And then we go back outside and back out into the world, and what really is the direction of our life is where our system is set. We're just in here for a temporary off course, and then we get back out and we get back on the course of our life. My prayer for you is that here is the course of your life. That when you're out in the world and in the things that you're doing, that there may be times that you temporarily get drifted away, but you feel that sense of, I need to redirect and get back to that system, back to that which I hope for, and that gives you that direction for your life. So Peter gives to us this intentional word, set your hope. Then he says the extent of this. He says to set it completely, wholly, fully, carry it to the end. It is a completeness of our life. It is not just something that we, as I said, just come in here and have a few songs, a few verses of scripture that just kind of bring us in for a little while, then we go back out and drift away. It is setting your hope completely, fully to the very end of what it means to be. And then what he says to set your hope upon, it's easy in this verse, verse 13, to jump to the very end of the verse where it says, when Jesus Christ is revealed. And it's easy for us to think, well, okay, well, we're just here right now going through all this trouble, but Jesus is coming again and he's going to work it all out. Everything's going to be fine in the future. Yes, And that's what we're going to talk about in a moment. Jesus is coming again to this earth as he came first born into this world, coming again to receive us into his presence with him. But notice what Peter says. What is the focus of our hope? He says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you that is continually given, that will be completely given when Jesus is revealed. The grace of God is that which guides and directs us in everything that we have. Our existence and relationship with God is all about grace. It is never about our works. It's never about our abilities, never about who we are and what we've done, never about anything that we can do to earn or gain the grace of God. It is all of grace. God's riches have been given to us at Christ's expense as he came into this world. God has given to us an experience of his presence. The thing that separates the Christian faith from any other belief system out there or unbelief system is many others, God, if he exists, is some distant God. In the Christian faith, God is born in us. God came to this world and walked among us and lived among us and was for us. And that which makes the Christian faith different, it is the grace of God who came to give to us our salvation, who lives with us today through his Holy Spirit, and the promise of his coming again. That is the grace. It is grace that continues on to that revelation of the revealing and the return of Jesus Christ and on through eternity. It's all about grace. So we are to set our hope fully, intentionally set our hope, completely set our hope, and the content of our faith is, our hope is grace. The content of that hope is the grace of God. So, when we look at this expression of what is our hope, we have this hope because. And Peter goes back to the first part of the chapter to tell us what we have this hope because. We can have a fixed hope. And shares with us, and go back to verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The source of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the source of our hope. His coming as a baby, his coming to be in a manger, his coming to walk among us as mankind. If all we have is just a sweet little baby in a manger that we can love and cuddle and look at how cute he is as a baby and think about Jesus as this sweet little baby child, if that's all we have, and if all we have is him going through his life being a very nice person who cared for people, who taught a great philosophical way of life, if that's all we have, then we have a dead hope because he died. He's gone. And if all we have is just a good person, then we don't have a living hope. Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? In that situation in Corinth, there were those who saying, those who have died, they will never live again. They're gone. Paul is expressing the fact that because of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this hope of the coming resurrection of all of us. He says, if Christ is not dead, there's no resurrection of if Christ has not been raised from the dead, how can some say there's no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And here's the point. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied among all men. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is the source of our hope. He is more than just a great teacher. He is our Lord and Savior who took sin and death and knocked that door down and opened up to us the way into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And it is in that we have our hope. And as a believer in Jesus Christ and as a Christian, yes, there's an ethic that we live, but there is a Savior that we follow. And that is our hope. That is what we have. It is the grace of God, of His giving to us our salvation, and we follow Him. He is the source of our hope. But secondly, He gives us the strength, the security of our hope. The security of our hope, back in 1 Peter. He says, to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So we have that security of our hope in the fact that we are held by the very power of God. We are not left to the forces of this world, that no matter what happens, no matter what happens in our health, no matter what happens in our job, our family, our relationships, no matter what happens to us, all these things are temporary that come and go. But what we have is a security in knowing that God is the one who holds us and never lets us go. And we have that security in Him. It is that grace that holds us. It's not our works, not our ability, not our holding power that holds on to Him. It is His holding power that holds on to us. The world offers a hopeless end. Jesus offers an endless hope. And we have that securely held by the power of God. So we have this fixed hope because the very source of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The security of this hope is the power of God. But also the strength of this hope is faith. Is faith. If you look back at verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer griefs of all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may prove genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The context of this passage goes back to the first century, those first century believers who, when they came and expressed their faith in Jesus Christ, many of them lost everything they had. They lost relationships that they had. They were dispersed into various places where they had never lived before. And even in those places, they faced persecution. But yet, they remained faithful and continued to believe in the power of God to hold them through their persecutions. We don't know the extent of the persecution that they faced. We do not experience that in our society. There are places in this world today that are experiencing that. When people have a faith in Jesus Christ, they lose their family, they lose everything they have, and they're just totally put aside from everything they know. These are the type of people that Peter was writing to. And so it says, he said to them, these experiences, they're in that. It builds your faith. Faith is taking God at His word, based upon what He's done in the past, what God has done, and seeing His action working in your life, seeing His action through the history and the Word of God, seeing all that build up to where you presently are today, and you live and walk by faith in the strength of what you've seen God do in the past. It is God's working that you live today in faith. Hope is expectantly waiting for what God is going to do in the future. It's the same as faith. Faith looking back upon what God has done. observing what God has done to give you that strength to live day by day. Hope is expectation of what God is going to do. And it's looking forward to the future with the same source. By the source of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the providential power of God. And we know that that faith gives to us the grounding for our hope. We're not just standing here with some wishful thinking of something that might happen in the future. We have a source. We have a history built up of what we have today. And Paul, or Peter, mentions that in the next few verses in chapter 1 when he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them, not that they were serving themselves, but you. So we have a heavenly heritage of those in the past who have presented the gospel message, looking forward to what God was doing. They believed in God. They had faith in God in the present, and they had a hopeful expectation of what God was going to do, and it was revealed in the coming of Jesus Christ. And we have this hope that has come at Christmas that they were looking for, expecting it to come, and it came at Christmas. God coming to be among us. And the prophets of old hoped for that. They could not see it clearly, but they believed in what God would do. But also he says there are those who are preaching that gospel to you today who are basing it upon what they saw these prophets preached. Then also he says even angels long to look in these things. Even the angels, which it's the term that's used there is stooping down to peer into the future, into something in the far distance. You know, when you're looking, trying to see something in the far distance, you may cover your eyes, you may stoop down to try to get a better view. So that's what the angels of heaven have done all through eternity. They saw the sinful nature of man. They saw everything that was happening in the destruction of man, and they wondered what God would do to bring that together. And when they saw what Jesus Christ did and how that reconciled a sinful man and a holy God to bring us together in a relationship, that's what they long for. They long to see what we see clearly in the Word of God. We have a hope, and we have a hope that's not just some wishful thinking. It's not just some optimistic attitude. It is a hope that we intentionally put in our life, that we do it in completeness of fulfilling it in our life, that it is based upon the grace of God, and that grace was revealed through the coming life of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power that gives to us what we cannot earn, our salvation, the cleansing of our sins, the justification that we needed, the sanctification we need today, and the glorification that we will have in the future. That is the grace of God revealed through Jesus Christ. That is our hope. It's not based on anything else. So we have a firm foundation for this hope. We have a heavenly host who have preached it through the years. And the writer of Hebrews talked about that, said that we have a great cloud of witnesses. And the witnesses are not looking at us. They're looking at Jesus and saying, look at him. Look who he is. And these witnesses continue to profess through the generations and years of who Jesus is. And our hope is fixed upon that grace that came through Jesus Christ. So we have this hope. We have a fixed hope. That is where our life as a Christian, as a believer, it is fixed firmly upon the grace of God, what he has done through Jesus Christ, and the hopeful expectation of what he will do when he returns. That is the focus of our heart. And so when we're out there in the world and we're walking along the world and everything else is coming around us, that's our fixed hope. And nothing can move us from that. So how do we have this fixed hope? Peter gives to us in these verse 13 and the two following after that, he gives to us four points of how we fix our hope. And this is not the only four. There are many more. All the way through 1 Peter, he gives more expressions of how to fix that hope because he gives this first, this is that word, set your hope, is the first imperative that Peter gives in 1 Peter, and then he follows through with how we do that. But he gives to us four very quick ones in verse 13, 14, and 15. The first one is be ready. Be ready. If you look at verse 13, prepare your minds. Prepare your minds. The word in the original is gird up the loins of your mind. And again, you've heard this expression before. In the ancient days, the men had flowing robes that they would reach down and grab the hem of the back of that garment. They would bring it up and tuck it into their belt. So they were basically wearing running shorts. That they were prepared for action, whatever they needed to do. Nothing could hinder them with their garment. They were ready for whatever action they needed to do. Peter says, prepare your minds. Gird up the loins of your minds. Have your mind prepared. There's two ways that that's done. First of all, it's done intellectually by studying the Word of God, by reading from those who are expressing truth from the Word of God, that you have within your mind the ability to be able to give the reason for the hope that's within you, yet with gentleness and fear. But not all of us have the ability, not many of us have the ability to be great apologists, to be able to get into an area where people are expressing their skepticism and we're able just to answer everything they have. Not all of us have that ability, but all of us need to at least have a prepared mind so that we can know it. So there's intellectually we need to do that. But the word for preparing your minds more, the emphasis is more upon your thoughts, your daily thoughts. Every one of us have daily thoughts, thoughts that go through your mind. Every one of us have those thoughts that enter and go through our mind. And what is the focus of our thoughts? Where do we find our focus happening? Are we focused upon things of this world, desires of this world, pleasures of this world? Is that the thought process that's guiding us and directing us in what we're thinking? Peter says, have your mind prepared. Fix your hope upon Christ. Paul says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. That is the focus of our mind. So we go through the day, if it's not a true thought, if it's not based upon the truth of God's word, if it's not noble in what it presents, if it's not just in how it's played out, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not of good report, don't have that going through your mind. It may enter your mind, but you reject it, not let it continue through your mind. It is that word of going through your mind. It may enter, but it needs to go back out. It doesn't need to go through. So you set your mind, or you set your hope by having your mind prepared on a daily basis. Second word that he has is be self-controlled. And that's the word be sober. Be sober. That's the attitude that Paul said, do not be drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with wine, we talk one way, we walk one way, we think one way. In those ways, he says, just like a drunk person, we become intoxicated with the things of this world, and we walk and talk and think according to the things of the world. He says, be sober. Have your mind filled with the Holy Spirit so that you live a life that talks and walks and thinks according to the Word of God. That's how you set your hope. Third word that he mentions in this is be as obedient children. Be obedient. That does not mean be obedient to a list of rules. What it means is, Paul said, you were once children of obedience. You followed after your sinful nature. When you come to faith in Christ, that old nature is dead. You are given a new spiritual nature, a new nature. We do not have the excuse of saying, well, that old sin nature just had me do that. The old sin nature is dead. You do not be obedient to a dead nature. You're obedient to the spiritual nature that you have within you. You follow as obedient children. You live your life out as a spiritual child of God. And then the fourth thing he says is be holy. Being holy is not a list of don'ts. Being holy is not a list of things that you don't do. Being holy is who you are as a set-apart vessel for God. It is that saying to God, God, I am your distinct vessel for your service today. Use me in your service, in what I do and what I say. So we have a fixed hope. We have a fixed hope that is intentionally, that we intentionally do, wholly in our life. The content of that hope is grace. The source of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The security of that hope is the power of God holding us. The strength of that hope is our faith that is built up day by day, and we have a heavenly host that witnesses to that hope, that faith. And each day as we live our life, we set our hope by intentionally being our minds prepared for action, being sober, prepared for his service, living as an obedient child to the nature that he has given to us, and by being holy. Thing I don't want to have happen is that each of us in this room, we temporarily just recalculated to having our hope fixed on Christ. But then we're going to go back out and our GPS system's going to pick back up to what we really hope for. Today, fix your hope. Set your hope on the grace of God. So when you're back out there in the world and it's wanting you to recalculate, you say, no, this is my fixed hope. And when you do drift, you recalculate back to the fixed hope you have in Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation that you've given to us through Jesus Christ. And I pray as we are here in this room that we will all leave here with the firm conviction that our hope is fixed upon nothing else but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. So, Father, help us this day as we make these commitments. And perhaps there are those here in this room today who need to make that commitment for the first time in their life to come say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ, to fix my hope upon him and to serve him as my Savior. I surrender myself to my Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you need to be a part of a church family where you can study and prepare your mind and grow in your faith, that you can live out that hope. This is a place where you can come and be connected. And so, Father, we pray during this invitation time that there be those who respond to your call in their life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.